Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
It's about tithing. I believe that one of the important things that God has instituted in his church for the church is tithing. You know, very important. So important to God that from the very beginning of the Bible, we see tithing all throughout, even unto the end of the Bible. So there is something about tithing that I want us to get. But many times, what people have, the kind of understanding people have about tithing is quite, it belongs to an old truth. You see, there is a present truth that we must expose ourselves to. Hallelujah. Because tithing has been in the system, in the Bible, all throughout, like I said, right from Genesis, you see it all throughout. You have to be careful when you're handling it, because you can mix up various dispensations, you can mix up various expectations that people God had of people at different times in the life cycle of humanity. So we need to be quite careful about tithing and be able to, as it were, rightly divide the word of truth as far as tithing is concerned. That's what I want to share with us. And my concern is that we have a kingdom understanding of tithing as champions, you know, in the church of God, so that we will be able to support the kingdom of God that God wants to establish in our generation. Hallelujah. It takes a kingdom understanding. The Bible says that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. It's important for us to have a kingdom understanding so that we can have the kingdom of God being expressed. Inherit means that you don't work for it. But you see, when you have a kingdom understanding, the kingdom of God expresses, or it is expressed. Hallelujah. So we want to zoom straight to the book of Luke. You know, I want to start with Jesus's take on tithing, and then I would go back. I'm talking about Jesus directly speaking on the subject of tithing, so that I go back and then we will break down other places in the Bible where tithing is spoken about, especially in the Old Testament, the book of Malachi, the book of Genesis, and then we would move on. So the book of Luke, chapter number 15, over there, the Lord Jesus is addressing three main things, you know, concerning his kingdom on this earth. He talks about, first of all, you know, there are some three parables. We call them the parables of the lost. They are not the same. But the first one talks about the lost sheep, the man who had 100 sheep and lost one and left 99 and went looking for it. That's talking about lost property being restored, you see, unto the people or unto us. Lost property. And then the second one is the woman who had 10 silver coins and lost one. That is talking about lost money. And then the third one is the parable of the, we call it the prodigal son. That's a lost personnel. So there is lost property, there is lost money, and then there is lost personnel. Now, all of these ones were restored, if you understand Jesus' parable, which is very common, that the man found the sheep that was lost, you know. So God wants us to understand that we will find all the properties that we have that have been lost down through the years. Hallelujah. No matter how little it is, we are going to find it. The same goes with the lost personnel, people who belong to the house, who belong to the church, who are away. God is going to restore personnel unto us. Now, in all this, he wants us to do one thing, and that thing is found in verse 2. Luke chapter 15, verse 2. All right, verse 1 says, "Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.'" Now, these sinners were people who were ostracized. They were separated. I mean, you don't mingle with them. But Jesus Christ, they found out that he was uniting with the sinners, that he was bringing about unity. So look at verse 3. "So he spoke this parable to them, saying," it means that the parables that Jesus Christ spoke, I mean, it's talking about unity, restoring unity to us as his people. So the lost property is talking about the fact that we are going to have our property restored, and then we are going to share the property. Share the property. If you see the parable, you would understand that when the man found the sheep, he went looking for his friends and neighbors. Says, "Come and let's share in the joy." You know, we're going to share property. And then verse 8 to verse 10, talking about the woman who had the 10 silver coins, lost one. We're going to share money. All right, and then the parable, we call the parable of the prodigal son, and we are going to share personnel. Hallelujah. It's all about unity. That's what I want you to understand before we read really what I want to teach from it. Look at verse 8 now. Jesus is speaking and he says, "Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one," please note, "loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors," please underline friends and neighbors together, "saying, 'Rejoice with me,'" underline rejoice with me, "for I found the peace which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Now, in what we have just read, Jesus Christ is literally equalizing the joy of finding your lost money to the joy that God has when a sinner repents. You know, sometimes we think that it's the angels who are rejoicing. Well, fine, it can be, but the Bible says that, "Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels." You know, it's the angels who are seeing that there is some joy. It is the joy of God. Hallelujah. Angels, they don't understand salvation properly. Can you take that? Yeah, they don't understand salvation properly. They are searching, as it were, to find out what all these things mean. That's why we will sing a song that angels cannot sing. Hallelujah. That is talking about salvation. And it is God who is rejoicing before the angels. Wow. But what I want us to note is that God or Jesus is like comparing two joys. When he says likewise, it means that there is one joy that he talks about, the joy of finding your lost money. Who is so excited when he finds his lost money? Everybody is excited. Who is so excited when he finds his lost sheep? Everybody is excited. Or his lost child? Everybody is excited. Hallelujah. He is just saying that there is a certain type of joy which you know, which God also shares in, but when one sinner repents. Hallelujah. What Jesus is telling us is this woman, I want to describe the first joy, right? There is a woman, and I believe that this woman is talking about the church. You see, in the parables of Jesus, he's just not giving us a story. He is teaching us something, and those things are sometimes so deep. Sometimes you think that you understand the parable, but his idea of sharing it in a story form is actually to conceal some deep truths, which only the Holy Ghost will reveal to us, as he is doing to his church. This woman, among other things, is standing for the church. And the church had 10 silver coins, and she loses one. In other words, she loses one tenth of her silver coin. All right? She loses one. The one tenth is talking about the tithe. So this woman, the church, has money, but she loses one tenth of it. She loses the power of the tithe in the church. So what does she do? Can you imagine if you have 10 and you lose one? shouldn't you be okay? I think you should be happy. And thank God in everything, give thanks also. And say that, Lord, I thank you that at least I have 9. If even I've lost one, I have the majority, I'm blessed. But this woman doesn't take it easy. Similarly, the church of God should not take it easy when it comes to the tithe. I'll show you why. 3 reasons why Jesus wants us to go find the tithe. Alright. So she searches the whole house. This woman lights a light. She beams the kingdom word into the church, into the house, and she sweeps the whole house to find the tithe. And when she finds it, wow, you know, I presume that the place was dark. That is why she lit the kingdom light to shine the whole house, so that she would have the tithe the way she would see the tithe well, properly. Hallelujah, in the church. So she finds it. Thank God. She finds it through the word. She finds it in the house, sweeps the whole house and finds it. When she finds it, it means that the tithe has been restored to the church. Not so wonderful. So she goes and then she calls her friends and neighbors together. Please underline together, saying, rejoice with me because I have found the tithe. Ladies and gentlemen, the tithe is an important aspect of the church's life, and it is not just for individuals like you and I to pay tithes or to give our tithe in the church, but it is also for the church, the woman, to also pay her tithe. Hallelujah. He's talking about the whole church, because tithe is not just for individuals, but it is also for group income earners. It is also for the church to also pay tithe of what she receives. Hallelujah. This is very key, because when she finds the tithe, she calls for her friends and her neighbors. This is talking about the friends, I believe, are people that the church flows with. You know, they are his, the friends. Maybe they have some linkages. You know, they are in some affiliation. All right, a local church affiliating with another local church and all that. So he calls her friends that come around, and then he calls her neighbors. Her neighbors are people who are just around the church, that local church, and says that, rejoice with me. What is she doing? She's sharing the tithe, the corporate tithe, the group tithe that individuals have brought. She's sharing it with her friends and then neighbors. Hallelujah. And it brings so much joy. You know, at this time of the sharing, the neighbors and the friends, the other local churches and the other ministries, you know, who may not necessarily be churches, who are friends, who are neighbors of the local church of the woman, is they are so excited. And God says, likewise, this kind of joy that you see, outbreak of joy, you know, among this, in this local church, this woman and her friends and neighbors, it's like the joy God has, you know, when a sinner repents. Quickly, ladies and gentlemen, there are 3 or so reasons why the church of God, in our bid to maximize the role of the tithe in the local church, there are 3 reasons for it. The first one is that it increases when we give, like a church, a local church also pays a tenth, you know, of what is paid to the local church. What happens is that it increases the giving church's joy. The joy of the increase in the giving church, it increases. There is nothing more joyful than for you to give to other people. There is nothing like it. There is no joy like it. This is the joy in the Holy Ghost. Wow. You feel wonderful. You feel that heaven has come into your heart when you are able to give.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles, and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Hallelujah. So it increases joy in the local church. Joy fills the church of God. Hallelujah. And we need more of that for various reasons. You know, a church must not be a place where people are morose. There should be music and dancing in the house or in the church, not so. Yeah, but it shouldn't be an artificial thing. It should be a joy of the Holy Ghost, the one that in spite of your suffering, there is something welling from your inside. You don't know where it's coming from, but it is the joy of God. The joy of God. Hallelujah. Because God's joy is in when He loves people, is in when He gives to people. That's where He has satisfaction. And that's how His church must be. If individuals must pay tithe, I believe that the church of God going forward must seriously think about paying tithe to the friends and the neighbors. Hallelujah. And there's going to be an outbreak of joy. Our worship is going to take a different turn altogether because we are doing it right with the light that was shed in the house or in the church. Secondly, when we give as churches out to our friends and neighbors, it increases the joy of the receiving church. It increases joy in the receiving church or in the receiving ministry. Hallelujah. They are full of joy. Why? Because somebody cares for them. Everybody wants that he is cared for. Not so. There is nobody who doesn't like being cared for. It's wonderful when you have people who care for you. Even when you have it, and you have people who care enough to give you a handkerchief or something, you feel some joy. Hallelujah. No matter how rich a local church is, you know, we must pour into it. As churches, we must pour into one another. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
It's wonderful. It increases the joy of the receiving church. Now, the third one is that it brings unity between the woman and the friends and neighbors. This one is very important. It brings unity. The way Jesus wants unity to come in the body of Christ, as far as our maximizing tithe in God's house is concerned, is that it brings unity. The other church or ministry that receives something, it may be little, you know, but that receives something, that church feels, wow, I belong. Hallelujah. If you study the scriptures, Jesus says that he calls the friends and the neighbors together, and he says that let's all rejoice together. Hallelujah. When monies flow from another church into Prevailing Way Chapel or into any other local church for that matter, there is a certain bonding that takes place. Naturally, a certain bonding. Wow! Suddenly, the neighbors feel they have a different look at the churches around them. You know, that, oh, we are in this thing together. Oh, we have one goal, so to speak, you know, because there is this sharing that is going on out of that which God gives. Jesus put it this way. He said that the glory that you have given me, I have given it to them that they may be one. Hallelujah. Well, of course, I know you are thinking about the glory of like a halo. You know, halo. You know, a halo. That bright shining light around saints when they draw them. That's a halo. I'm sure that you may be thinking about that, but Jesus wasn't really thinking about that. Jesus had a certain glory. There was a glory that he got right from the age of two. He had the lifelong savings of very rich, wise people who were believed to be kings. These were lifelong savings. They traveled, we are told, for years, at least 2 years. Because when he was born, they saw the star and they set out. By the time they got to Jerusalem, I mean, it was around 2 years. Jesus was about 2 years. They traveled for a long time. And they came there and they gave out of their treasures. They gave gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Wow, these were things that the rich people in those days, they were investing in. Now it's different, you know, but they were investing in this thing. That's where money was locked up in. Jesus had it. He had the thing without laboring for it. Hallelujah. He was not a pauper. Our Lord Jesus had it. Says that the glory that you gave me, I have given it to them. Haven't we read in the Bible that he went about doing good? He went about doing good. He was taking care of about 12 people, maybe plus their families, because he wouldn't let them abdicate their responsibility towards their family. What am I saying to us? I'm saying to us that there is a need for us to take the titan a little step further. For every church of God, we have to maximize the tithe. It is not for us to clamp on it, on everything, you know. There is a tenth of the tenth that must go to the friends and the neighbors, that must bring them together, that will make them feel that they belong, and that will build bridges. If you give your money to somebody, the person feels that, no, you like me. And the bridges are practically built. As simple as that. Hallelujah. So the objective of tithing is to bring about unity. Unity between the woman, which is the church, and her friends. Hallelujah. Wonderful. So I believe that we need to get these things in place so that we can move forward. The next thing I want to talk to you about, let's go to the book of Malachi. The book of Malachi, chapter number 6, and then there's what? It's Malachi 6 what? Hey, tight. Malachi chapter 6, is it verse 10? Let's get there. Chapter 3. Yeah, Malachi chapter 3 and then verse 10. Look at verse 9. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Please underline this whole nation. You have robbed me, even this whole nation. You know, the nation is talking about corporates, a whole group. Right, so when he said in verse 10 that bring all the tithes into the storehouse, whom was he talking to? The nation. This is like a corporate kind of tithing. Hallelujah. Wow. So he says that bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. So number 4, the fourth reason for tithing. The first one is joy, and you think that joy is, oh, Pastor, joy is not very there. Joy is the best gift God gives. Yeah. Because Jesus loved righteousness and hated iniquity, God anointed him with the oil of gladness above his fellow. One of the best gifts God can give to you is for you to have his type of joy. So he says, well done, good and faithful servant. I mean, you have been faithful in this. You have much. Enter into the joy of your Lord. The best gift God can give you is his joy. Likewise, it's an equalization thing. Hallelujah. So he says in verse 10 that the fourth reason why I'm talking about the purpose for tithing, that the fourth reason why we tithe is that there will be food in the house of God. Food in the house of God. Food. That's the reason. Some people, their reason for tithing is so that God will give them money. Some people, their reason they tithe is so that God will protect them. God will whatever reason that they have, that they will be rich in future. But God gives us the reason why we should tithe. Says that we tithe so that there will be food in my house. That should be your reason. You must not be happy that there is no food in the house of God. There must be food in his house, not food in your house. Not food in money in your pocket, but money in the church. This one must suffice. It must suffice. Do you know why God puts it this way? It is important for us to get this so that when we are giving our maximizing tithe in this generation, you know, when we are giving our tithe, we will give it out purely because we love the house of God and we want that there is food or eating material in the house of God. Simple. You should be content that there is eating material there. But you see, many people are selfish when they are paying tithe. They don't think about whether this one can suffice the church, whether there is eating material in the church. They say, as for me, I've paid my tithe. The issue is that, has it produced eating material, you know, to meet our recurrent expenditures in the house of God? Has it been able to do that? Wow. So we need to get the spirit of this whole tithing. That basically, the fourth reason I'm giving you is so that we express our love to the house of God. It is when we do things out of love for God that those things will count before God. Because you can give all your goods if you don't have love, 1 Corinthians 13. It profits you nothing. So that you see that you give your tithe, but still your life, the way it's going, you wonder whether the tithe is working or whatever. I don't know the kind of work you want the tithe to do. The work, the first work he gave to us over there is so that there will be food in my house. That's God's aim. That is why in the New Testament of the kingdom, we don't look at one tenth means one tenth. So if you bring 1/11 or 1/8, then it is not tithe. Do you know that? Strictly speaking, tithe is one tenth. So if you calculate 1/5 and you say, I'm giving tithe, it's not tithe because it's 1/5. That's not tithe, not so. Yeah. But you see, in the spirit of the New Testament, we don't look at all of these. We get the spirit of the whole arrangement that there should be meat in the house of God. Period. Hallelujah. That is what God is aiming at. So that we don't get bogged down with calculations, where is gross or net or all those things. I've had many questions asked me, you know, gross or net, or you take a loan and all those kind of things. Please, I say, focus on, is there eating material in the house of God? Hallelujah. Because if we believe that we are having a better covenant, then we must prove it. If the Old Testament are paying only one tenth, and we claim we are in a better covenant based upon better promises, and Jesus has died for us, and we are blessed, and we have all the riches restored to us, he said, all power in heaven and on earth has been given unto me after his resurrection. Let it show Hallelujah. That's why I believe that in the New Testament of the kingdom, we do not just pay one tenth. Everything we have, including ourselves, belongs to God. So if he makes a demand for it, please, you must be able to release it. Then we can maximize, and you are releasing it because of what? Because you want there to be meat in the house of God. Hallelujah. Let me talk about the meat a little bit, because sometimes when we talk about meat, we don't get it that well. Meat is talking about food. It's talking about something that is recurrent. You see, the recurrent expenditures in the house of God, things that the church runs on. Its daily life runs on that thing. That is what is called meat in the house of God. Hallelujah. So that we focus on the church running on daily basis, running that well. That is the objective of the tithe. And this meat, let's take it a little step further, is not just talking about that the pastor will eat, you know, that whatever the other people who are working full-time for the church, they will be paid and they will eat. It's not really talking only about that. It is more so talking about materials we have to feed our minds with. The investment of the tithe goes into what? Materials that the people of God can read. That is meat in the house of God. Because you can think, oh, it's all talking about physical food. Let's bring plantain and those things. Yes. But more importantly, it's not that the place is full of plantain and food and then we don't have materials to feed our minds with. Bibles for people to use. Books for people to read. CDs for people to listen to. These are all food in the house of God. And if we go into those dimensions, you'll be meeting how God wants his church to operate. Hallelujah. Amen. How Jesus wants the church in our day to operate. How come there is everything is increasing in the world? Knowledge is increasing except in the church. Do you understand? No, it shouldn't be. How come things are increasing? Technology, Silicon Valley is coming out with new things. Every day things are changing. But in the church, we are still feeding on the same old material. How is it possible? How is it possible? So God wants that there will be feeding going on. That is the main objective of the local church. Jesus said, who is the wise and faithful servant that his master will make him ruler over his house? Talking about the church. Says that blessed is the servant that when he comes, you know, his master comes, he will find so doing. Doing what? He says that he will give unto the servants, the people in the house, food in due season.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.